Your host, Parker, Dan, and Angela, slice and dice their way through the good.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
The bad.
You brought the devil!
There's a devil inside everyone.
And the ugly movies you love.
And you can't piss on hospitality! I won't allow it!
Hold your favorite films and franchises tight, because they aren't safe. In fact, it's already too late. It's time to dissect that film.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Dissect That Film podcast, a podcast that dissects the good, the bad, and the ugly of cinema. I am your host, Brett Parker. Joining me, as always, my wonderful co-host, Dan and Angela of DNA Gaming. And joining us tonight is a very special guest. He is the owner of the last video store in the universe and hosts one of my favorite podcasts, Binge Movies. He is the Lord, the Savior, the man behind our intro, Jason.
Thank you. For legal purposes, I have to correct you. I don't own the last video store in the universe. I manage it.
Oh, okay. My mistake. I'll make sure to edit that in post.
I'm just a very lowly employee doing the bidding of those above me, you know?
All right. Well, welcome to the show. I am very happy that you're here, very honored that you're here. I always like to gush with first-time guests of podcasts that I listen to on a regular basis, so
yeah,
welcome. Thank you.
I'll soak it in. I'll absorb it. You can put me over as much as you want. You can make your co-hosts uncomfortable with how much you prefer me to them. Doesn't bother me, because when this recording's over, I won't be here.
Just go.
Whatever tension you create, it'll be yours to clean up. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're right. It's true.
It's true.
I don't feel so good.
Oh, before we move on to what we're talking about tonight, Jason, why don't you tell us what Binge Movies is all about?
Oh, it's about a lot of different things, Parker. It's about a lot of different things. But what it's mostly about is mostly about me and guests watching movies to try to determine which ones are most worthy of preservation for all time, even beyond the end times. We let our guests and myself decide what the best movies are per season. They end up going into a competition called Last Movie Standing. And then our listeners decide who won that debate. And then those movies, a single movie, there could be only one, we'll make it into the no copyright infringement intended vault. And mostly because the dark forces that rule our universe on the outer edges of space and time, that are going to soon subsume everything we know in utter darkness, are going to need entertainment. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to get them the movies that they would want to watch when we're all gone, having been roasted alive and then obliterated on an atomic level. It's pretty simple.
I mean, I don't think anybody could have told, you know, the history of their or what their podcast is all about better than that.
Yeah, so it's pretty clear.
It's like doomsday prepping for films.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, we're film preppers. We binge movies to determine which ones the best are to prepare for when humans no longer exist and the old ones need entertainment. Right now, our suffering is their entertainment, but we won't be suffering forever because we won't exist forever. So we're capturing memories for them to enjoy forever. Like, Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai.
Yeah.
Or Hellraiser 3.
The least we say about that, the better.
He's got CDs in his head.
CDs shooting from his head.
What a time to be alive.
What the bartender shakes martinis and then blows fire. The martini Hellraiser, the bartender Hellraiser, you know.
Why not?
When you're three movies in and you've got a bartender monster, it's too late. Your franchise has jumped the shark. When you start off as this weird, gothic, erotic, sadomasochistic, weird, perverted sex story, and then you end up two movies later having a guy shaking drinks and blowing fire out of his asshole, we're done, wrap it up.
You know, as sexually charged as that franchise is, and I don't really watch much of them or haven't seen much of them,
yeah,
how come they've not tapped into like I have not seen the newest one, so if it's there, please forgive me. But how many have tapped into like the essentially the adult industry through social, like the internet, social media, stuff like that? How come that?
That's a really great idea. Probably because the people who've written the scripts for most of them are hacks, and they haven't thought anything through about what they've done with that franchise because they don't have talent or creativity. And you, Dan, are more talented and creative than most of the people who've worked in those movies. That includes Scott Derrickson. That includes Scott Derrickson, who then went on to do a bunch of legitimate films. So,
hey, you got to start somewhere.
They did do a Hellraiser that's about an MMORPG
with Henry Cavill in it.
With Henry Cavill getting a blowjob from a Cenobite. Yeah.
What? Seriously? I was just talking about Henry Cavill, and I didn't think like it would shift to this topic regarding Henry Cavill. I was talking about him today.
You wouldn't think it would shift to him getting a blowjob from a Cenobite?
Well, I think now in his Warhammer 40K series, he's going to be getting a blowjob from a heretic. Because I've been playing Warhammer 40K Bolt Gun on the Xbox, and I'm like a fringe fan of that franchise. And me and my son were talking about it, and I was like...
Yeah. Well, I think if the Warhammer thing turns out to be good, he'll be getting blowjobs at fan conventions from grown ass men who paint their Warhammer figures for the rest of his life. So
yeah, so they'll be painting their figures while giving him a blowjob while he's building a PC.
Yes, correct.
At a fan convention.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But I guarantee you, Dan, if you go up to at the Warhammer convention and you ask him to sign a photo of his from Hellraiser, you will be escorted out by security.
Really?
I don't see him owning any part of that movie whatsoever.
I don't understand why these actors just don't embrace those awful roles that they took in the beginning. Okay?
I know.
Like, come on, Henry Cavill. People know it exists.
You just got to be a good sport about it, dude. Like, listen, we all had... Yeah, we grew up, we all had shit jobs. Like, it's just part of it, dude.
I manage a video store. I still have a shit job.
Well, there you go. See?
Yeah.
At least you got tapes, though.
Yeah, some of them. They let me keep some of them personally. That's what's behind me, obviously. But the rest of it stays at the store. I pay for them, though. I don't get them for free.
Well, when nobody's looking. Speaking of nobody's looking.
Oh, they're always looking, Dan. At binge movies, they're always looking.
Just wanted to make a Tommy Boy reference. I'm sorry.
No jokes about that, buddy. They're always looking. They know exactly. They don't see just what I do. They see how I feel. They see what's going on in my mind's eye.
Can they feel how you feel?
Sometimes they give me what I feel. You understand?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Adam's Family, Parker. This is what it's all about. This
we're getting there, guys. We're getting there. Hellraiser, Adam's Family. Come on, they're one and the same, right? No. No, they are not. So, today we are in our final week of the month of 1991 series, which is, of course, the year that yours truly was brought to this earth. And we're finally covering a movie that came out after I was born, and that is 1991's The Addams Family.
Antenna.
Uncle Fester, may I have the salt?
What do we say?
Now.
Unhappy, darling.
Oh, yes. Yes, completely.
There's lots to learn. Look, children.
Scabs.
Children, what are you doing?
I'm going to electrocute him.
I said no.
Please?
Oh, all right. Don't torture yourself, Gomez. That's my job.
From real lemons?
Yes, I'll buy a cup if you buy a box of my delicious Girl Scout cookies.
Are they made from real Girl Scouts?
Jesus fucking Christ.
It's a baby.
1991?
He's got a baby bottle.
Yes. Pop. Yes. Baby bottle pop? Is that what you said?
I'm just kidding. It's just a water bottle.
If only. Those fucking things are great.
For the makers of baby bottle.
Yes,
pop.
Jason, I'm sorry. Wow. I love to make our guests feel old. It's not on purpose, but.
If you make me feel old, you must have made Lundberg feel ancient.
Ah, he knows. He's been on the show multiple times. He knows.
He's the oldest man in podcasting. I think he's 75 years old.
He has to be. Every time he comes on here, you hear the tomb crack open and just dust fills the room.
Oh my! He comes out of his Mormon crypt. Yeah, Salt Lake City crypt, straight from the temple in Salt Lake. He rises out of his crypt, comes towards the camera. Yeah, and he starts talking about. Before movies had sound, you know, he's like, back in my day, when I was a kid, movies had real stories. You didn't even need sound.
They all went downhill when the talkies started.
Yeah, exactly. The real art form was lost as soon as they started having talking in the movies.
Love him. He's so good. I really hope he listens.
He literally has nothing but nice things to say about our show, and we sit here talking shit.
I'm just ribbing the guy. He's given us shit on here before too. He's like he's been here and given me shit. So.
I'm the one that typed what did I type under his name?
Darren Runs the Clock Lindbergh or whatever.
Runs the clock. What's this mean?
Because every so he has been on three episodes. His first two were 3 hours long, and his second one was 2.5 hours.
The contract I said signed said 60 minutes. We're now 30 minutes in. We got 30 minutes to talk about Adam's Family. I'll talk about nothing, but you only got 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So after that, y'all can talk about Adam's Family all you want.
All right.
Literally, at some point, he's just going to vanish off the screen and not say anything. Big conversation, timer hits, he's gone.
Gone, yep.
Vanishes into the ether.
So, unless Parker Venmos me some more money, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
One free Henry Cavill blowjob voucher. Can we make that appear on Patreon? The Henry Cavill blowjob?
No. We already have the Mark Wahlberg book club, okay?
Mark Wahlberg Blumpkin? What did you say?
Book club. We have a running joke that Mark Wahlberg doesn't know how to read.
I think that's not a joke. I feel like that's right. I feel like Vin Diesel doesn't know how to read either. Like if Vin Diesel,
that's more believable. That's more.
If it was revealed that Mark Wahlberg and Vin Diesel like were completely functionally illiterate, I would believe it.
He's too preoccupied about polishing his head. Vin Diesel.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hiding his height. Hiding his age, hiding his ethnicity. Everything about that man is a complete fabrication.
Just a giant question mark.
Yeah. Somebody told me this, and I couldn't believe it.
Keep going.
Yeah. Somebody told me this, I couldn't believe it. But it's true. There are photos of it. So during the making of Guardians of the Galaxy, which is not Adam's Family 1991, Vin Diesel said to do Groot, to do the voice, to be in character, he needed to be the actual height of Groot. So they had him in the recording studio on giant stilts because Groot's whatever, 8 feet tall, 10 feet tall, whatever. So he was on giant stilts the entire time he recorded his lines.
Is he a method actor?
I don't know that he's an actor. So, he would only appear at the premiere of the first Guardians if he got to wear the stilts. So if you pull up behind the scenes of the making of the movie and pictures of the premiere, Vin Diesel is in giant stilts towering over everybody else.
So in Pitch Black, did he actually fight alien insectoid creatures on another planet to get in character?
No, because they weren't taller than him, so he didn't feel insecure. Okay. He only needs that assistance, those PEDs, that performance enhancing stilts. In a scene where maybe The Rock would be taller than him, or
So that kind of translates because, like, he polished his head, so he's like, you know what, I need to go the next step beyond. I need to polish my eyeballs, and then we got for Pitch Black.
There you go. Okay.
We didn't talk about that movie, so fuck it, bad.
We got to talk about a movie, right? Is it the movie that we're here for?
We're talking about a lot of movies, technically.
All right. Well, before we talk about any behind-the-scenes stuff, let's talk about our history with the Addams Family, and let's start with our guest. Jason, what is your history with this one?
I was 30 years old when it came
out.
Oh,
you weren't.
And I thought, this is a movie for children, and it's too dark, and somebody needs to take this away from the children of America. Otherwise, we're going to get a bunch of corrupted youth, and now here I am on a podcast with corrupted youth.
Yeah, that's true.
All three of you are degenerates. Look at you with your tattoos and your VHS tapes.
I've been known to put my finger in places it doesn't belong. So,
hey-o.
The degradation of society.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, anyone else want to share?
Well, I did go to the doctor the other day.
No, not that kind of share.
Go ahead, Dave. You probably have more of an interesting history than...
As I say, I've watched this several times, but it was before me and him got married, so it's been...
30 years ago.
I'm not that...
Just kidding.
It's been a little bit since I've watched this, so it was a nice refresher to watch it over. Because I grew up watching the Addams Family TV show. So to see a movie like this come out, I was like, okay, I'll give it a go, see how I like it. But I've watched it several times, so.
Were you more of an Addams Family gal or a Munsters gal when you were?
We watched both, and I love Munsters.
Yeah.
Just not whatever fucking Rob Zombie put on the table.
Yeah. Which one had the dinosaur dragon thing that lived underneath the stairs? Was that Monsters?
I'm pretty sure that was the Monsters.
Yeah, because Monsters. Yeah, it was. Wasn't it named like Rex or something? Because it was the same head. They used the head prop. Yeah, because this is where we're going to what I'm interested in. The head prop was used again on, was it Land Unknown from 1958 when the T-Rex had a big floppy head? It was the same head. They just reused it for that movie on a dinosaur that looked like shit. Anyway, my history with the Addams Family. I remember the poster. I remember seeing this movie. I remember the trailers for this movie coming out. I remember the trailers for the sequel. And I remember our video store had the Addams Family value poster on the wall for fucking ever. and that's about the extent of it. Like, I watched the animated series. I vaguely recall, you know, my grandfather watching Addams Family if it was on whatever retro television station was going at the time. But wasn't really my thing. I knew it existed. That's about it. Oh, I watched the cartoon. That came out around the same time, the 90s cartoon.
Yes, the Monsters.
This is a yearly watch for me. This is one that I always watch around, you know, Halloween. It's great to throw on, especially when you got young kids. It's one of those type of movies that just kind of engrosses you every single time. The performances are just so good. The effects work. Everything about it is just great. And so, yeah, it's a staple for me since I was a kid. I didn't grow up watching the Addams Family show. I was a Munsters kid. That was what my mom always watched, so I was always watching that. This was my introduction to the Addams Family. And then the Addams Family Values was where I fell in love with Christina Ricci. And, that's my history with that.
Your deep personal history with Christina Ricci starts at Family Values, huh?
Mm-hmm. Sure does. Mm-hmm. Because I was about her age that she was in that movie when I saw that movie for the first time.
That can't be possible. You can't have been born in 91 and she's 5 in this or 6 in this movie and she's your age 3 years later. She didn't stop aging
when
while
I
you
first
aged.
Saw the movie, I was the same age as her character in
that.
The movie.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. When you first saw the movie, not when the movie first came out. That makes sense. You made it seem as if she went into stasis just long enough for you to hit puberty, and then boom, magic happened.
I kept her in my basement in stasis. Okay, it's time now, Christina. all right. Well, for a little bit of history on the history of the Addams Family. The Addams Family was started off as what I think was a comic strip, right? Or was it just drawings by Charles Addams? And then it became a TV show from 1964 to 1966. And this was the first movie, I believe, the live action movie that they did in 91. And the sequel came out in 93. And then another sequel came out in like 98, which had Tim Curry as Gomez Adams and Daryl Hannah as Morticia.
Straight to video.
Wow, I was like, I don't remember that one. Okay.
Yeah. And the only returning actor for that one was the actor who played Lurch. So he was in all three of them. And then what did we get? Oh, I think we got a couple more TV movies like in the early 2000s. And then we got the animated movies that came out within the last like 5 years.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, Adam's Family.
Yeah, I've seen one of those.
And then of course we got Wednesday. Yeah. Which has our return of Christina Ricci in that universe. So this one was directed by Barry Sonnenfeld. This is the second time we talked about him on the show. We talked about Men in Black, which would be his second like franchise. This would be his directorial debut. He would direct the sequel in 93, and he would go on to direct some good movies and some not so good movies. Wild Wild West, Men in Black 2.
Hey, I like
we don't need to talk about those much. I know Wyatt from Cinema Trip Reviews is yelling at us. He's like, Wild Wild West is a good movie.
We covered it. Are we bringing him on?
Absolutely.
I just want to play the segment of the Kevin Smith stand up where he talks about fucking Wild Wild West and the fucking what's his name? The Nick Cage Superman movie. Like that sums that whole fucking film up for me.
Me and him against you and Parker.
That's fine.
On why it's good.
I mean, you can still enjoy it. It's fine. I'll just sit there and be bitter. It's
you're always bitter.
This was originally supposed to be directed by Tim Burton, who
no shocker there,
right? Because the writers of this movie were Caroline Thompson and Larry Wilson. Larry Wilson was one of the writers for Beetlejuice, and Caroline Thompson was one of the writers for Edward Scissorhands, and she also wrote Nightmare Before Christmas. So he had worked with those two writers, so that was kind of like this is an easy choice. But I guess he didn't end up. He didn't want to do it. He would come into the franchise because he would direct all the episodes of Wednesday. And so there you go with that.
All right.
Stars Angelica Houston, who we've talked about at Houston on the show before. Not Angelica, but we did talk about her dad as he was the narrator for The Black Cauldron.
Oh, dude, Gandalf.
Yeah.
That was her fucking dad, Gandalf the Grey?
Yeah, we mentioned it in that episode, the fact that
he is
Yeah.
Dude,
he's like the original most famous Houston, and then it would be her and her brother Danny, who's pops up as a villain most of the time in movies.
Yeah, he's gonna be in the new Crow. He's gonna be the villain in the new Crow.
Yeah, yeah, that's her brother.
This has Raul Julia, who plays Gomez.
Oh my god, he's incredible.
He's fantastic. Yep.
We're not there yet, but if like, is this not an Academy Award worthy performance that this guy gives? He never breaks. He is Gomez Adams, which like it doesn't seem like it because I'm an old man, so I know that those are like kind of big shoes to step into, mm-hmm. because you're stepping in John Astin's shoes, father of Sean Astin from The Lord of the Rings. But John Astin like made that character iconic. That was an iconic character, and was like, well, who could ever be better than the original guy portraying Gomez in live action? And I think Raul Julia, if he isn't better than, he is equal to. I mean, he's incredible.
When I think of Raul Julia, it's Gomez Adams and then M. Bison in the Street Fighter movie. That's like his, to me, I know he had been acting 20, 30 years before the Adams family.
He was a serious actor for a very long time.
But so no disrespect to his illustrious career, but those were the movies that I remember him for. And unfortunately, those were the kind of the movies that, you know, were at the tail end of his life because he passed away in 1994. He actually was very sick during the filming of the second Addams Family and during the filming of Street Fighter. His final recordings were in the Street Fighter the movie video game, which, because you need to make a Street Fighter the movie video game that's based on a fucking video game. What are we doing here?
That's right. That's right.
And everybody that rendered rendered graphics, so it looked like Mortal Kombat-esque and all that shit.
Yeah. Yep.
Apparently there was a decent version of it. I think the Saturn, there's a couple different versions of that game. I think the Saturn port was like the best one. Anyway, pointless information.
That is what they say. Yeah.
We have Christopher Lloyd as Uncle Fester or Gordon. We have Christina Ricci as Wednesday. We have Jimmy Workman as Pugsley Adams. I found this info out like 10 years ago, but Jimmy Workman is the brother of, I think, Ariel Winter. She's on Modern Family. She's one of the daughters.
Are you serious?
Julie Ben. Yeah. Yeah.
That's her brother.
Yes.
Yeah, it says right here, sibling on it. Yeah.
Wow. He only really did Adam's Family, right? The first one, second one, that was it for him.
Yeah.
I'm out. Okay. Maybe that was his, that was it. That's all he wanted.
Very weird thing that I found out. I don't know how I even found that bit of information, but there. I finally got to share it. We have Judith Malina as Grandmama. She would be replaced in the sequel with, was it Carol Kane?
Mm-hmm.
Who's better? That's the question. We have Carol. Is it how do you pronounce Lurch's actor's name? Is it Carol Strucken?
I have no idea. All I know is he appears also in Men in Black as the alien that the suit that the little alien's piloting.
Yeah, the two that meet in the diner.
Yeah.
He's from the Netherlands. You aren't even going to pronounce it correctly.
He also works a lot with Mike Flanagan now. He was in Doctor Sleep. He was in Gerald's Game. He's very good at playing creepy characters because of his look. Yeah.
I mean, he's only 7 feet tall.
Only. No.
Only, yes. Only
we
just.
We have Christopher Hart as Thing. Just his hand, which I love.
And he does a give fantastic him his full credit.
Oh, it's so good. John Franklin is Cousin It. Elizabeth.
Do you know who John Franklin is?
Why? The name sounds familiar. I didn't look.
You know who he is. I just learned this fact.
He's from Children of the Corn.
Son of a bitch.
He's the creepy little child preacher, man. He's not Isaac. Is he?
He's Isaac.
Oh, he is Isaac.
And.
From Children of the Corn.
We talked about him in our Child's Play episode because he is Chucky in costume when he is going to get Andy in the asylum or wherever the hell, the hospital that he's in. He's like the version of Chucky that's like walking up the stairs and crawling through stuff. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the name sounded familiar. I didn't even click on it. We have Elizabeth Wilson as Abigail Craven. We have Dan Hedaya as Tully. We have Dana Ivey as Margaret. And Paul Benedict as Judge George Womack. So that is our cast of this movie. For special facts on this, I already shared the fact that Tim Burton was originally supposed to direct. Another thing was that they went through two cinematographers in this movie. One of them quit, and then one of them had family issues, so had to quit. So Barry Sonnenfeld actually is the cinematographer for this movie, as well as the director. He was a cinematographer before becoming a director, so he already was very well versed in the job. So it was easy for him to kind of step in and do that for this movie. So that's pretty interesting. And originally, Barry Sonnenfeld did not want to use the theme music to the original Addams Family, but. When the first trailer was shown for this movie, it had the theme and people loved it. So he was like, I guess I got to do it.
You're stuck in it.
For the life of me, I do not understand this. When you have a well-known property and the fact that it is well-known is the reason why you are making it into a movie or adapting it in the first place. Why do these Hollywood executives and directors and writers feel the need to remove it from all the stuff that makes it well known in the first place? In 1991, everybody knew that fucking theme. Why would your idea be like, let's not use it? What? I don't understand.
This is a very valid question.
Yeah.
Especially for me as a Godzilla fan, and the last two MonsterVerse films to come out, they're like, let's just not use this theme song. It's only been there since 1954.
Nobody's what is that?
Know the fucking difference. I don't know. Bear McGreedy did it in King of the Monsters.
Yes. Oh, and he fantastic. Used it. You already heavily, have it. He used it so much in that. It's you. It's like, this is a Godzilla movie. And they're like, well, but this one's got Kong in it. We don't want to overshadow Kong. He doesn't really have a theme.
Well, fuck him. Godzilla's got a theme. He can get his own shit afterwards.
Yeah, like, I just don't understand too. That. That's a consistent thing in movies where they're like, everybody knows this. Let's make it again so we can sell tickets. And let's take everything everybody loves about it away once it's on the screen. Why? Like, if you're embarrassed to make an Addams Family movie, don't make it.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, the Jurassic World movies, they didn't shy away from using that old school Jurassic Park theme. They used it a lot. But that wasn't the reason those movies were very good.
No, we'll be here Darren Lundberg style. Well, Jason will run the clock.
He was on that episode of our Jurassic World Dominion. Oh my god!
Don't worry, he's coming back for the fourth one. It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So Cher actually wanted to be Morticia in this.
I can see that.
Yeah, I've Angelica Houston. She's perfect for the role. Like I couldn't envision anybody else doing it. But she went through a lot to become Morticia. She literally always wore a corset to kind of get that frame. She had to have like her eyes like pinned back all the time to get the look. Like she was, she said that she always left set like with migraines and she couldn't like relax because she always had that corset on. Like,
it's hard to breathe.
But clearly she liked it enough to come back for the sequel, or she was just under contract. The special effects for this movie were done by Tony Gardner, who has done effects for Return of the Living Dead. He did effects for pretty much all of the Child's Play movies, I believe. Even the TV show that's going on right now. So he's been around the block once or twice with his company, Altarian Inc. And this movie came out November 22nd, 1991 at 99 minutes. Perfect. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Love it. A $30 million budget made $191.5 million at the box office. That is insane. Do you think if this movie with the same cast was released today, would it make that much money?
I could see it making more.
I don't know. I just don't see these movies making that type of money anymore.
Yeah, it's tough because if it got international release, maybe, but if it was just, if international markets didn't care about it. I mean, the big thing too is if we didn't get it then, but we got it now, would that mean that the Addams Family had been dormant for 40 years and now it's like nobody would remember it? Part of the reason why generations today even remember the Addams Family isn't because of the show, it's because of these movies. This is now classic Addams Family. So
yeah, that's true.
Would it be worthy of making that kind of money? Yeah. But honestly, it'd also probably be like $150 million budget. And for no reason. It would be all CGI and it wouldn't have half the charm, even if it had the same cast.
So crazy enough, when the animated film was released in 2019, it had a $24 million budget, made $203.7 million.
So it only had a $24 million budget for an animated film. That's pretty wild.
That is very wild.
And so clearly people still have something for the Addams Family. They still
for sure
love it. So it's still making money. I mean, that one, that even got a sequel, which.
Yeah, it did.
There you go.
I don't know what it was, but it happened.
I don't remember there ever being a sequel to it, but it got a sequel.
Yeah, it was called The Addams Family 2. That one had a similar budget. Yeah, it was just called The Addams Family 2.
No catchy subtitle.
Unhappy to see you again. They take like a vacation. I don't know. But that one had a
straight to streaming movie?
No,
was it like a straight
to that went to theater. It made $120 million at the box office.
Wasn't that just the second Hotel Transylvania?
Listen, the first.
I think the second one they went on a vacation.
Movies. No, the third one was the one where they go on a cruise.
Oh, that's that one. I'm sorry. I don't fucking care.
Then they made a fourth one, and it didn't even have Adam Sandler doing the voice of the don't anymore.
Parker's big Hotel Transylvania.
I really enjoy those movies. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I have no shame. I have no shame with what I enjoy. Okay.
Why should you be ashamed about what you enjoy?
I like Hannibal, yes. Jason. I like Hannibal from 2001. Okay.
Yeah, you should be ashamed of that. I'll draw the line there.
I've even read the book. Okay. Well, I think that's all the background information we need to give. Let's jump into this plot. All right, Jason, we like to do a little thing before we go. It sounds cheesy, but we've started doing this at the beginning of our
season. Is it a prayer? We're
going to say it. No.
Yeah.
All right.
Let us do well.
Now,
ritual.
Okay,
we are going to dissect.
Dissect.
That.
That.
Film.
Film.
It's great because it's so bad, okay?
We're just playing Name That Tune in a different form.
Hey, but other shows do it. Hey, why the fuck can't we?
Dan, yeah. We're going to dissect that film.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now bumped.
So this movie starts with kind of the classic Charles Adams picture, if you've ever seen what's one of the original drawings he ever did of the Adams family on top of their house pouring tar or oil over Christmas carolers, as you get the classic Adams family theme. I think it's tar, because later on in the movie, you can actually see the tar down the side of the house.
I didn't think about that.
It's a great little touch.
I figured it was that or burning oil. It was one.
Yeah.
We then see Thing wandering the halls looking so good. It's funny, because when you watch in high, you know, in like, you know, not the quality that it was filmed in, but like 4K or even 1080p, you could see the, you know, the blue screen or the compositing that's done on some of the shots, especially in the early shots of this movie. It's really blatant, but as like the film goes along, it's like they got better with it. But in this early shot, it still looks great though. And we find out that Fester has been gone for 25 years, which is, I guess, they did that as the show ended in 1966. This movie came out in 91. That's 25 years. So there you go. But there's no link between the show to this movie. At least I've never read that. So we then see Wednesday doing what she does best, torturing her brother. Gomez is, this is, I, like I said, I've only seen little bit of the show. And I know that like Gomez always has, he always admires his wife. He's always so overly loving to her. But boy, Gomez is horny as fuck in this movie towards Morticia. He is.
Honestly, he's horny as fuck in the show, too. He's horny as fuck in the show, too. Like, it's just like this. It's just like this.
He is.
You'd be surprised. You're like, what the hell? Yeah.
Oh, man. It's so good. I love the use of like just the lighting over Morticia's eyes.
Pretty
much in almost every shot she's in. Are you unhappy, darling? Yes. And
I feel like this movie aroused kinks in me as a child that I have yet to explore as a man, and it's all because of Angelica Houston.
Whoa.
And when I revisited the movie for this show, I thought, isn't it time, Jason, that you treat yourself? Isn't it time you finally give in to these impulses that Angelica Houston groomed you to have all those years ago? I think I'm going to explore a goth S&M phase now. Thanks, Parker, Dan, and Angela.
That's fine. No problem.
You're welcome. We like to help anyone any way we can.
Well, welcome to the dark just side.
Practice it safe, dude. You got plenty of outlets out there.
There. Yeah. All right. I'm going to hit you up after the show.
Not me. I mean, there's other people. I don't know nothing about that stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
I appreciate you like thinking like, hey,
I saw that paddle behind you. I thought maybe, oh, that's a Crystal Lake sign. It could be used as a paddle. I thought that was a paddle. I'm sorry.
No, you're
I made assumptions. I'm sorry.
No, you're
the black paint, the darkness. I thought, okay.
That's all me.
Oh, I see.
Where were we? Okay.
There's subtext here. I think it's just like,
well, I mean, I guess it's a good segue because she's describing the night before.
Yes.
And yeah, and about how unhinged and wild Gomez was. And then she's like, let's do it again. I'm like, God damn. God damn.
Surprised she could fucking walk after that. She's like, Got a little bit of a weird gait to her in the morning.
You might be surprised that Gomez can walk.
That's true. He might, yeah, it's true. That's true. I don't know
if how anybody's getting pegged, and it's Gomez.
Turnabout's fair play, man.
He's
that's right. You
know, when he's sitting down for breakfast, he's got to hover for a bit. He's a,
yeah.
I need my pillow. I need okay. my special pillow. Yeah. Get my cream.
Yep. Oh, man. We get our first look at Lurch. He's so, I just love this character and the minimal amount of things he does, but they're all so great. We get the goal. I love Gomez golfing into the judge's house, and like all he does is "damn you, Adams!" instead of like, yeah. Clearly he's damaging your property on purpose. So maybe be like, "Yo, cops.
Is it on purpose?" Gomez seems so naive about it. He's just like, "Good morning, judge." He doesn't seem like he's vindictively destroying the guy's property. He seems more unaware.
Unaware, he's aiming. Right at this man's house.
Well, that's the tone of this movie, right? Is the Adams family, like, they're happy that if Pugsley pulls the stop sign and kills this school bus full of children, but they don't seem hostile. They don't seem evil, but they do a lot of evil, torturous things. It's like pouring hot tar or oil on children. But it's never played as if they're, like, Freddy Krueger or anything. They're sort of gleeful about it. They're innocent.
Yeah. It's like they're in their own world, and people are just living on the outside, and they just have to coexist.
That's a hard tone, I think, to be able to get right in a movie. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they do. And all of this part that you've gone through already is just like a perfect setup to get that tone right of, you know, they're weirdos, they're monsters, I guess. But they're not bad people. Yeah, they're freaks.
There's two sides of a coin, I guess.
Yeah.
As Harvey Dent would say. And we get the iconic chopping of the rose, you know, chopping the heads of the roses, which is something that was taken from the show. We then meet Tully, and I love Dan Hedaya in everything he does. He's always such a slimer. Or just kind of the innocent guy who just doesn't know what's happening. He's a slime ball in this movie. Absolutely. And I love he gets attacked by the gate. He's like in the midst of this coat gets caught in there. And I love the gate. And then it's not just making gate noises. It whines like an animal. So like it's like growling at him as it attacks him. You got the polar bear rug that attacks him. He opens up Gone with the Wind and gets attacked by the wind. Like, How long have they been your clients? You don't know all this shit.
I know.
Come on,
he
man.
Knows enough to get ready with the fencing sword.
Yeah, he's got some moves, but Gomez just
he's somewhat. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying Gomez just one ups him.
He's at least somewhat prepared to go in this place, but not for everything.
I love when he has to when Gomez makes his payment with the doubloons, the old pirate doubloons. Yeah. And he's wearing that little hat. Was that like an accountant hat? What was that? Oh no, it was like a bookie hat, right?
Yeah,
they're like bet on horses. He then goes back to his office, and we meet Mrs. Craven and her son Gordon. God, what a wig Gordon is wearing! It's fantastic. So I don't know, Jason. Maybe you can clear this up, or anyone here, because I don't understand. So why does Tully owe them money?
He swindled them out of money for some sort of investment.
Okay.
Because he's a con man, so the whole time he's trying to get Gomez's fortune to steal it. Like, he's like, oh, I'm going to invest it for you, but he's going to steal it. Well, he had already run that con on her, and to get himself out of debt from her or from Gordon breaking him in half because of course mother is evil, he's like, oh, I have a way out. I know a guy that's got all this money, and you're the spitting image of his missing brother. Mm-hmm. We can do this whole con job on him, then you can get access to the money, and I finally get my fortune, you get your fortune, we go our separate ways, nobody has to get their thumbs broke here. Basically, is it?
I must have just not been paying attention to about the majority of that part of the movie, because all of the times that I had seen this growing up, I thought they were meeting to plan to steal from the Adams because she knew that Gordon was actually Fester, you know, playing this whole con.
That might be in her back pocket.
Okay.
Right. She obviously knows he's Fester, but it just so happened, they don't really elucidate that. It just so happens that, you know, she got ripped off by the same guy that's trying to rip off the Adams family.
I do love when Gordon grabs Tully, spins him up the wall upside down, and then has to spin him back down.
And all the doubloons are coming out of his pocket. But he's already stolen from So he's just a total fraud in every way. He's a thief.
So yeah, as Jason said, they're devising a plan. Gonna get Gordon in there to pretend to be Fester. Because he's not Fester. And did anyone notice in the scene in the... I might be skipping a... Oh no, I am skipping ahead here. Never mind.
Okay.
I'm looking at my notes. It's like, this is why I should space out my notes, because I'm just look like a big jumbled mess of shit. Back before this whole meeting, I love Tully's wife. Was it Margaret? And she's hanging out with Morticia, and they're going through the cabinet with Uncle Knickknacks, like summer wardrobe, Uncle Knickknacks winter wardrobe. Uncle Knickknack.
Yes. I was like, I like it.
And she gets the Chinese finger trap.
Yes.
And they're going to auction it off. Skip ahead to what past where we were. And they are meeting in a motel room to discuss the plan to steal Gomez's money. And did anyone notice the creepy ass painting behind them of JFK and Martin Luther King? It was really weird.
No,
I was like, this is awful. Like, it's one of the worst painting renditions of these two people I've ever seen. It really distracted me from the conversation that was going on. Next time you watch this movie, in that scene, look at that painting. Now it is seance time at the Adams family house. They pretty much every year Gomez does a seance to call upon Uncle Fester. So, of course, Tully and Margaret have to go, and the whole seance happens, and who were to knock at the door once the seance is over, but, as in air quotations, Fester. We also get the thing prank, which I thought was pretty funny, where Grandma has thing as a hand, and he pulls it away and freaks Margaret out. It's like, poor Margaret. Margaret is the most tragic character in this movie. Can we just talk about how Margaret is? Her husband fucking sucks.
She gets hers in the end. She gets cousin it.
She does. So she is tragic for the majority of this movie.
Yes.
And then she gets what she deserves. Something
true
good.
Love.
Yes. And hairy babies. But Fester is
to clean their floors. You think it's bad having a cat and stuff? It'd be like fucking tumbleweeds of hair throughout that fucking.
Imagine
house.
The shower drain because of his house.
Once a week,
and then stuck to the wall. I don't know if you live in a household where hairs get pulled and stuck to the wall in the shower, and you get in there like,
I clean up after myself. Okay. I make designs on the shower. My hair.
So imagine it. You know, it's got
all hair
critters in there, man. Yeah.
Listen, I have a wife and I have a daughter, so yes, there's a lot of hair going on that damn drain. So Fester is not alone. He is here with Dr. Pinderschloss with the worst German accent I've ever heard. I can't even do it. I can't even do it as bad as she is.
Terrible.
which is incredible. That's what makes it so delightful that they buy into it, because she has the worst German accent ever.
But they don't buy into it, if you think about it. The only one who buys into it is the person I think they need to buy into it the most, and that is Gomez. Because Gomez immediately is like, brother! Like,
Pugsley's kind of an idiot, so he kind of buys into it.
Listen, Pugsley doesn't exist in this movie, but in like three or four scenes for the matter of seconds. His longest scene is the school play scene later on.
That's okay.
He's just along for the ride. It's fine.
Yeah.
Because Morticia in Wednesday, they immediately are like, This is a little sus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So she explains how she found him. He washed ashore in Florida. He explains he was in the Bermuda Triangle. I love how Wednesday's like grilling him. He's like, no one escapes the Bermuda Triangle.
He's like, now well, here's the thing. Now wait a minute here, Parker. Okay. I got a bone to pick with this screenplay.
Okay.
What does Morticia say about the Bermuda Triangle? Anybody remember?
I can't remember exactly what she says.
Always wash your hands when you're done?
No, she says, oh, the Bermuda Triangle. We spent our second honeymoon there.
Oh, that's right.
And then later in the same scene, Wednesday goes, nobody escapes the Bermuda Triangle. Bitch, your family, you were conceived in the Bermuda Triangle, probably. Yep. So what do you mean nobody escapes? If you can't vacation there and not escape from it. This movie is inconsistent. 0 out of 10. This movie sucks.
Just no, just we're
it's our number done. Five. It's our number five of the week.
Worst of the week.
Worst of the week. But yeah, you like I stated, Morticia's already suspicious of Fester. She goes in his room, tries to help him unpack. He's very like, you know, antsy, and is like, oh, I can do it. And gets her out of there, and she's like, okay. I love everything that's going around with the room. I love the little the thing that says Alcatraz on it. You have the picture of flora and fauna. The bed that when he jumps into it, it consumes him.
I know. I was like, oh shit. It's either really comfortable or he's gonna get nommed.
I also think it's comfortable because he's like falling asleep immediately.
Yeah. I also like the thing that thing scares the shit out of him, like creaking, doing all this stuff. And
another would it scare the shit out of you though? Oh my god, if a severed hand
oh, absolutely.
Was just skittering around on your floor as you were sleeping. And then it, like got into the bed with you.
Grabbed your leg.
Yeah, it grabbed your leg. Woo.
The one thing I loved, well, I mean, I liked Wednesday. I thought it was a fun show, but I liked how Thing looked in that show. They had him like all sewn up. He was pretty much like a Frankenstein hand, which I thought was pretty cool and new, like a different look instead of just being a regular disembodied hand.
I like that this just some dude's hand in this movie. It's just some guy on the set. They're like, here, put a green sleeve on and move around. And I honestly, I think for the most part, it still looks pretty good for being 30 plus years old.
Absolutely.
It was like, holy shit. Yeah.
What do we do with this guy? I don't know. He's a hand, isn't he? Well, yeah. Don't you want to do something? No, he's just a hand. Like, okay.
He does get a job. Do you think that's a visual pun? Because it's a hand job.
Yeah, it is. He's suspiciously good at it too.
But no, I'm being serious. Do you think that's like a wink and a nod? Because
absolutely. Only
Morticia and Thing can find a job, and so he's a hand with a job. Hand job.
Yep. Yeah, I like it. I wasn't thinking of that, but now I am. It makes it that much better.
Yeah.
I mean, other than Gomez, I think Thing has the most personality of any of the characters in the movie.
Oh, yeah. He really does. Yeah.
Lines whatsoever.
Fantastic. So morning comes and they go downstairs and Grandma's serving breakfast. It looks disgusting. And I love all the shit that's happening in the background. Like shit's like flying in the background and it's constantly freaking them out.
Fires going off in the fucking kitchen.
Well, that's another thing. Okay, like another plus to this movie that you guys just hit upon is that like every scene is what's in the frame has obviously been thought through, and so there's gags that either some of them are very obvious that are happening, some of them aren't, but there's always something happening. Even the callback of later when we see the outside of the house, how the oil is still there. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a very well thought out movie with a lot of, like, other than that Bermuda Triangle line, a lot of like really smart continuity. And how can we make every aspect of this house creepy, funny, scary, some kind of a gag? And even if it's just in the background. And I think that's what makes this movie like so memorable. If it was just a plot about the Addams family eventually losing their house, who gives a shit? It's everything of every scene in this movie, even the random breakfast scene with entrails and eyeballs, is charming.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's very charming.
Yeah, is this the one where Morticia tells Wednesday to play with her food?
Yes, I think so. Yeah,
and this is when Pugsley comes in with the stop sign.
Yeah, kills school bus full of children.
I never envisioned them dying. I just wished it was a horrible
crash. I mean, it's a pretty bad crash and a bunch of screams, and then everything goes quiet. And all you hear is a hubcap. Yeah, and they're like, yeah, let it go.
Yeah, Gomez is like, my boy. Quiet, everybody. And you hear the whole thing. Yes.
Yeah.
So Gomez and Fester travel to the vault. And they go through this whole maze. They open up. It's like a door that goes into a slide. Then they go into the vault, which is like a bunch of their, it's like a game room type thing. It's like childhood memories and stuff like that. But there's a secret, like he picks up a bottle of something and it causes the room to spin, which then shows the vast wealth of the atoms. Like it is a vault of doubloons for miles to see. Oh, actually, before that, don't they travel into some like underground catacomb, like on a boat?
Yeah. They like,
there's like Hercules. Like, they travel into Hades. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the Ore Man. It's like going across the River Styx or some shit.
Yeah.
And so this is, you know, Fester sees the vast fortune and he knows exactly where it is, but he, throughout this whole movie, cannot figure out how to get back. And he watches, you know, old family movies. But can't remember anything. Like, it's like, you know, Gomez asks, like, what's the password? He doesn't know the password. It's the word we've used 100 times a day growing up. I don't know. And so that's, you can see that Gomez is starting to get suspicious of Fester at this moment, but he still believes that it is him. So what the fuck is trying to play a game? Oh. When I type up notes and then I don't know what the fuck they mean. Sweet.
I just did this. Well, we talked about what fucking movie we just... Oh, Daimajin. I had a note. I was like, I don't remember what this is for.
No, this is when Wednesday ties him to the electric chair. It gets him all hooked up and Morticia comes upstairs and be like, no, what are we doing? We got to go. You got to get ready. And she's like, oh, come on. Just let me do this. She's like, fine. So pretty much it's like, it's okay to electrocute your brother.
I think he even says, like, will this hurt? And she's like, yes. Hopefully.
Oh, man. So Gordon finds the goods. They watch home videos. He doesn't remember the password, as we said. The Adams bid on their own item at the auction, which I thought was hilarious.
Very they're passionately.
Like, so, oh, my God. Like, they're about, like, I wouldn't even put it past them that they just fucked on that floor.
Oh, absolutely they did.
In front of all of the people there at the auction. It's just like, and no one said a word. They just slowly got up, walked out the nearest exit, and just let it go. But yeah, they end up bidding on their own item and winning. Oh my God. But this is when Gomez really like doesn't believe it's Fester now, because he what does Fester do that causes him to get pissed off?
It's like the straw that breaks the camel's back. I can't remember what it is. Fuck.
I can't remember exactly what Fester does that like pisses him off. Oh, he doesn't know. He doesn't know the trick to take the Chinese finger trap.
Oh, yes.
He's like, how do I take this off? Yes. And Morticia's like, oh, there's a trick. And she takes it off.
Yeah.
Gomez is like, oh, shit. That's it.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to do
that. It was his
That's
party.
No,
it was
brother his party. Of mine.
Yeah, he's like, that was the party trick at his tenth birthday. How could he forget? Like,
yes.
Sarah's all like, is that a Chinese finger trap? She's like, does she know how to take that off?
Oh yeah. When Margaret Probably has it not. On her finger during the bidding.
Yeah. I was like,
she's shown how to take it off, but then she puts her finger or no, she Wednesday has her put her fingers back in there later. Yeah.
So,
Gomez goes home. He is pissed. So, and when he is pissed, he plays with his trains and
murders people who exist in an alternate dimension.
Yes.
Train set.
This is where we get our Barry Sonnenfeld cameo, as he is the passenger on the train reading his paper. Like,
poor
very
guy.
Very Beetlejuice esque. This
yes.
part.
Yes.
Yes.
That there's actual living entities in this model, and he flat out murders that guy. He murders that man.
How do we not get a Adams Family Beetlejuice like
crossover.
Why are we not getting that? It was written by the same guy.
There's still plenty of time. There's a new Beetlejuice.
They'll appear. They'll make reference for it. Like I was hanging out with the Adams. It'll just like a throwaway line.
I don't want to see another live action Adams Family. Raul Julia, he was just too good. No one could ever live up to his performance. As good.
CGI, baby. Get his CGI ghost up there.
No. Performance.
Hey, they did it in Fast and Furious. They can do it.
Okay. What are we comparing here? We're comparing the Adams Family and Raul Julia to what? Paul Walker? Come on.
I want a soulless, uncanny valley CGI render of Raul Julia dancing around to the Mamushka.
They could do it.
40 years later. Yeah.
So what you're telling me is because we have the Adams Family, Adams Family Valley, those movies, and the Fast and the Furious is all about family. Should we have a Fast and the Furious Adams Family crossover?
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
Fast and the Family.
We could do a wacky races style.
Yeah.
With all the families. Have Adams Family. You could do Beetlejuice. You could do Fast and Furious. Just fucking do it, man. Garfield could be there for no reason.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not? Put normal in there.
The trailer was before Ghostbusters. Normal, yes. Well, they also Ghostbusters could be there.
Yeah.
Fuck it, dude. Let's just do it.
I mean, listen.
Chris Pratt can voice everybody.
Listen, Ray Stantz was in Casper. All right. Ray Stantz was in Casper. So
that's true. Yeah.
That's true.
And that movie basically stole the entire style of its entire presentation from Adam's Family.
Yeah, That was Bill Pullman before he was president.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. Yeah. We're making gold here. Warner Brothers. Zaslav, give us a call.
So while Gomez is having his episode, Morticia gives Fester a tour of the cemetery, you know, sharing her wealth of knowledge of the entire Adams family. I love how they all died tragic deaths. Like the parents,
great.
The parents were like killed by a angry mob. What? How long ago was this?
The insinuation here is that she will kill Fester if he's not actually Fester.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So that's what she's alluding to. Is like, you know, if family is very important to us, and if somebody were to try to portray themselves as an Adams and not actually be an Adams. You know, and so, yeah, she's trying to say, like, if you turn out to be not who, like, I think you're a fraud. If you actually turn out to be a fraud, I'm going to put your ass in the grave right out here.
There's a stat. There's a statue later on. And I love how all the statues are like we talked about or the monuments, their tombstones or whatever.
Yeah.
Are all like ironic renditions of their death. One of them is this really jacked dude. And I'm like, was the dude jacked? Was he killed by a really jacked guy? Was it like a freak, like bodybuilding, like accident? Like he was in the audience and was killed by a dumbbell. I don't know. Like, what happened?
What happened?
Interesting.
Maybe he took too many steroids.
Too many steroids?
You know what we need? We need a spinoff series that delves into each of the Adams characters that are in that grave. Each of them should get their own limited series on HBO Max.
Yeah, called Adam's Family Vault.
That's what I want. And then
Adam's Family Graveyard. Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, in Wednesday.
Don't shoot us down, Parker. Parker seems super.
Yeah, I know. We don't have Tales from the Crypt anymore. We can have Tales from the Adam's Family Crypt.
Yeah.
When did I shoot you down, Dan?
Your face.
Oh.
So we saw your face.
Listen, I'll just turn my
camera. Dan and I and Angela, we're cooking over here, man. We're making that. We're spinning butter into gold, baby. Zaslav's on the phone.
I guess I'm just making it so that Jason will never invite me on his own show.
Okay. Oh, have you not been already, Parker? I figured you've been on everybody else's.
I'm waiting. I don't ask. I wait until they reach out to me.
I hear you.
You shut down my movie ideas. It's not gonna happen.
Just torture me by making me watch a series of awful horror movies.
What was that laugh? I asked myself. I'm trying to recreate that as much as possible. I don't think I've ever laughed like that in my life. That was new. What is that? This is my new laugh for 2024.
New year, new laugh.
We have a spanking new podcast for your ear holes called Doom Generation.
Available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Later, Doomers.
So yeah, you know? Gomez again. He doesn't believe Fester is who he says he is. They talk to Dr. Cinder Flodge or whatever the hell her name is.
Hinderslage.
And but this is when Gordon starts to get close with the kids. He teaches them like how to properly slaughter people. I love that whole thing. Have you ever slaughtered somebody before? No.
Yeah, because he sees them like fencing and like, my fucking shit. I love her to death. I'm not making fun of her. She's a kid. She doesn't know any better. Our daughter is watching the scene of the sword fighting, right? And like Wednesday dying. And she's like, just looks over. She's like, can I die? I was like, yes, like that is an option that can happen. Preferably not.
Well, it started out. She's like, "Did she die? Is she gonna die?" And then she looks over and she's like, "Can I die?"
I was like, "Wow, this movie gave her daughter an existential awakening."
Yes,
it did.
Like, she's obsessed with Wednesday, though.
Wait, can I die? Yes, honey.
Yes, that is the
and
thing.
The face she made was like.
Like not like wow. not like scared it was gonna happen. Just like she didn't understand. Like, can this actually happen?
Yeah.
Wow. Like we didn't make fun of her or nothing. Obviously.
Yeah.
But it was one of those moments where I had to bite my tongue so I wouldn't laugh.
Yeah, she was the one. I was straight facing it. I'm always like, yes, it can happen. I was like, but this is. Just, and you were like, it's just a movie, dear. It's fine. I was like, yes.
Your daughter realized her own mortality watching.
Literally, yeah. It's like when Wednesday died on the steps, very dramatically.
Wow, this is fantastic. That's pretty incredible.
At eight.
Like, wow. That was it.
That's wild.
And then our 10-year-old's there. He's like, yeah, fuck those bitches. I was like, God, dude. No, my son did not say that.
He is so blunt, though, that he probably would be the one to say that.
He is. My son is Drax the Destroyer. Like, our 10-year-old, 100%. He takes everything so fucking literally.
Super literally.
Wow. He would catch anything that goes over his head. I promise you.
What did he think of Adam's Family? Was he catching the jokes? Or he didn't care?
Yes, he was in it for like a little bit, and he bailed. He's like, this isn't my thing.
He's one of those. He has better things to do than watch movies.
What were we watching the other day? He watched some of Daimajin.
Yeah.
Watched the end of that. Well,
my 12-year-old watched it, and he liked it.
Yeah, he watched some of it. He's like...
Because he was trying to read the subtitles. He was like, wait a minute. And he was like asking all these questions. Like, hang on. We're trying to watch this.
Just let the man get staked to the wall. Just give it a minute. All right, go ahead. Back to the movie. Sorry.
Oh, man. So, yeah, the doctor talks to Gomez about displacement, which will come back many times down the rest of this movie. And, yeah, Gordon hangs out with the kids. Gomez and Fester, they have a heart-to-heart about... what's going on, to the point where Gomez still doesn't believe that he's Fester, but he's trying real hard, and Gordon is like, okay, yeah, we're gonna have a party, sweet, I'm ready.
Well, you can see the shift going on with Gordon Fester.
Yeah, he's actually enjoying being there.
It's like, so you can see like a break in his psyche or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he talks about how he's gotta go soon. And that's when Gomez is like, well, we're gonna have a party before you leave. And yeah. So this is when they go to the school play. And I love the teacher who's like, Mrs. Adams, I'd like to talk to you about your daughter. And you know, they're showing like, so this kid drew a picture of like, a president. And this is what your daughter did. It's like, oh. Calpurnia Adams.
I like when they gave that really cute reference to that one girl, and like Morticia's like, oh my god, did you talk to their parents? Like, it's like this bad thing. I was like, yes.
Morticia at one point says, oh, what a beautiful costume. Are you a lizard? And no.
Yes.
An elf. And then she's like, aren't these kids so adorable? You can just eat them up. And then she goes, oh, way too young, dear. You have to wait.
Oh, I love that Tully and Margaret's son is the Raptor kid from Jurassic Park. The one that
he's also Jacob from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes.
Five, the dream child. Five?
Yeah.
Six?
I think you're right. Five. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's always the kid that Dr. Grant scares the shit out of in the beginning of Jurassic Park. So Gordon actually shows up after the just wonderful beginning of the play, or just the, it's the song number that they do.
And they're getting to know you. Their faces, Raul Julius, scowl, watching these children do this happy, chirpy. Yeah, it's fucking hilarious. Just
slouching in his chair. And
it's so miserable. These kids are screeching. Getting to know you.
This is
right. That is, doesn't that capture like what adults really feel like? I mean, you guys are parents.
Oh,
what?
Absolutely.
Don't you feel that way inside at these?
I'm not gonna lie. Yes.
Not for like our kids specifically, but like I was literally at a dinner I had to go to for work the other day, and I felt this way. I'm like, oh God. Yeah. Not even the food was that great.
Oh God.
When the food isn't even that good, and it's like, oh, this was a fucking wash.
It was high end food. He was showing stuffed chicken and stuff like that. And I'm like,
chicken stuff with stuffing / dressing, whichever term you want to use for it, and like cranberry and apple. Yeah. And it like, listen, the best part about it was the cake at the end, and then the fucking yeast rolls. That was the best part of the whole fucking meal.
And then you get to leave early.
And I got to leave early, yes, because we had to record. Yeah, not today, but that was when we did Dimash a few days ago.
So yeah, this is when Gordon shows up during Wednesday and Pugsley's part of the play.
Oh, it's so good.
It's great. Because of course, he shows them the whole art of like, it pretty much like effects work. You know? Yeah. He throws them like all these like pumps and hoses and stuff. And so, you know, Wednesday gets stabbed a bunch and freaking blood is spraying everywhere. Pugsley gets the arm chopped off, the blood. And it's so it's so overdone that it's spraying everyone in the audience.
It's very Evil Dead to the entire audience of children and their families being hosed down by gallons and gallons of blood.
Oh, it's so
good. This is my favorite part of the movie.
Me too. Me. Yes. And she's like, as she's very melodramatically dying.
Yes.
And they're alive. They've come alive for this. And everybody else is like terrified and petrified and horrified.
I like the judge gets the handkerchief out to like wipe his.
Yeah, it's a great
trying
gag.
To cover his wife so she doesn't get more on her.
Yeah.
Great. We also go back to the Adams house, and Mother gets pulled into the house by the vines because she's Gordon was supposed to be there. She goes there. He's not there. So she tries to find a way in, and yeah, she gets wrapped up in the vines. We then at the end, this is when Gomez and Morticia are out in the cemetery. They definitely get it on, man. They're actively fucking a lot in this movie. It's just lots of them. So this is when Lurch finds Mother wrapped in the vines in the greenhouse.
While he's dusting.
Ooh. Get me out of here! And they are setting up for the last party for Fester in this beautiful ballroom. This house is, I would love to spend the night in the Adams house. This house is just, I feel like it's like nonstop exploration. You're going to discover something new at every corner.
I feel like you would die. I feel like you would die.
You probably would.
Yeah. Me personally? Yes, probably.
No, anybody. I feel like if I stayed there, I'd open the coat closet and a rack of spikes would come out like Mario World style and poop. That'd be it.
Rip.
Yeah. All I can think of is this house is like the house in Rose Red, if you've ever seen that TV series. Mm-mm. It's a Stephen King. The house is constantly changing. I could just see this house being like that. You just open up a door and, oh, hey, this is a new room.
Yeah, the house is alive. Like, shit shifts. And
this house literally shifts, but I could see their house doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely could. Because most of the house, it's, like, very grimy and dirty looking. Mm-hmm. But then, like, they walk into this ballroom, and it's, like, gorgeous. Like, clean walls, floors. Everything's got the, you know, the curtain or whatever they use to cover, you know, all of the statues and stuff in there, the sheets. So now it's party time. And I love how the transition is great, because you have Gomez and Morticia waltzing, because it's literally Gomez like, when's the last time we waltzed? And it was like, you know, was it 2 hours ago or something? They start to dance, and then it perfectly transitions as they like twirl around. It transitions into the actual party.
Yeah.
And you got the band playing. You got the one dude playing a fucking cobra. Just woo! Cousin It shows up in his awesome little car.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And he sees Margaret and he just beelines to her. And I love how Tully's just like, yeah, sure, go ahead. Have her. Like, I gotta go. I got something to do.
He's here for the bucks. He don't give a fuck.
No, he isn't like, he doesn't love his wife.
No.
And this is when Wednesday also discovers the ruse, because she is sent upstairs by Morticia to check on Fester, and she finds Mother shaving his head, and she escapes into the cemetery. And Fester, still with the shaving cream on top of his head, chases her throughout the museum or the cemetery, and then climbs back up through the window. And I love how how Mother is just sitting in the chair, just like, "Well, did you get her?" And she doesn't do anything. We meet Flora and Fauna, and we find out they're conjoined twins. Did you know that when you first saw this movie? Like, when you saw the picture of them, did you think that they were going to be conjoined twins?
No.
No. Sarah's is like, that's the same person.
I just appreciate the nomenclature joke.
I loved it.
That was it.
But yeah, I mean, it's very Addams Family-like. You know,
oh, yeah.
The fact that they are. I love, was it Lumpy Addams, the one who's overly aggressively throwing Wednesday around while they're dancing? Just forget it. So, pretty much, Flora and Fauna, they hang out with Tully, and they tell him about the fact that Fester is the older brother, so he actually is, like, the consecutor of the Addams Family fortune. Mm-hmm. So pretty much that puts into Tully's head, oh, I know what I can do. I'm going to go talk to the judge who really hates the Addams, and I'm going to take everything away from Gomez Addams. And we get the mamushka, which is fantastic. It was supposed to be a lot longer, and actually, if you buy there's actually a Blu-ray cut that is called More Mamushka Cut, which has the full rendition of the mamushka.
Gotta have mamushka, baby.
Gotta have that mamushka. And I love it. It was like, yes, we did this for Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, right. The people you want to appease.
Yeah.
My favorite, though, is when they do a wide shot of the mamushka, and you can clearly see that they are two stuntmen doing it, that look nothing like the two characters they are portraying. Oh.
Effort was there somewhere. Oh,
yeah. I mean, listen, as someone who watches movies all the time and picks apart movies more than I care to, it's something I just kind of laugh at now. I don't even care.
Oh, anymore. Yeah, absolutely.
So Tully hatches his plan with the judge. He goes over there, explains the whole situation, and the judge is all about it. So the party ends. We say goodbye to the twins. We say goodbye to It. Margaret is all head over heels for Cousin It, and she will call me.
I think it's a PLP-50,
a little car that he drives.
I think so.
Oh, okay.
So see, it's one of those little. I don't think it's one of those early Merc. No, because it was from the side. Yeah, I think it's a PLP-50.
So they search for Wednesday because, of course, she ran away earlier in that whole sequence, and they find her in the catacomb there, or the hell is this called? Mausoleum. And they bring her back, and this is where I got confused. Where the hell is this cemetery? Is it behind their house?
Yeah.
Maybe.
So why did they walk to the front of the house after they found Wednesday in the cemetery?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Just like, wait a second. Okay. Well, after they find Wednesday, they go, and the gate is tied shut. And Tully tells him the fact that there is a restraining order on Gomez, and he'll see him in court. And everybody's very confused. So they are kicked out. The judge pretty much throws the book at him, pretty much, and is like, yep, you got nothing now, Adams. And as a final nail in the coffin, he's like, and I think these are yours, as he pours all the golf balls that were hit at his house. So I love when they're bringing everything out. They take the tree that's in front of the house. Morticia takes out the plant that's in her bedroom, the little Venus flytrap looking thing, which you see in the first shot or the first scene you see her in. I love that the gate whimpers as they leave. You see sad. And so they're gone. So it's like, well, now we can go try to find the vault. But they're just not having any luck because they go into this. In order to get to the vault, they have to go in this room and pull the right chain. But the chain just constantly brings them outside. So they're just having no luck. Gomez is down in the dumps. He, he's literally doing nothing. Everybody, Morticia goes out to get a job. I love it. Like,
what a job for.
I love it where there's like, major? Because he's like, did you go to college? It's like, self-taught. Or some, I think that's what she says. She's like, major, spells and hexes. And she's like, oh, okay, liberal arts.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. Yes. Oh my God, that was great.
She's like, I minored in witchcraft or something like that.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I majored in witchcraft and minored in spells and hexes or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get the Girl Scout out, talking to Wednesday and Pugsley.
That's probably the most, other than the Mamushka, the most famous scene of this movie, yes. Right? Is.
Yeah,
you know, well, are they made of real Girl Scouts? You know,
that the girl says nothing. She just is like, she just looks at her like, okay, I'm gonna move on now.
It's your a valid lemonade, question.
It's true.
Your lemonade made from real lemons.
Girl Scout cookies made from real Girl Scouts. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how old for real that Christina Ricci was when she made this movie.
11.
She's 11. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, she appears much much younger than that.
She was born in 1980.
Okay. All
so
right.
She was 11 when it came out, so she was younger when
probably 10, out. Probably 9 or 10, yeah. Still though, the remarkable deadpan she has at 9 or 10 years old is incredible. Mm-hmm.
She also came up with the sleeping arrangement of her crossing her arms when she lays down. She came up with it on her own.
Of course.
The Girl Scout, she would come back for the second one, but play a completely different character. I think she's the bully from the second one, the one.
Who's yeah, at she's at the camp. Yep. Yes, yep. Yeah.
I want to date myself and Angela with this reference, but I think it's funny that Sally Jesse Raphael made a cameo in this movie.
Yes, yeah.
And I was like, seriously, I remember this fucking show being on.
Oh, Sally was huge.
Yeah,
is that the one who talks about the? The hexes, right? Or the
brainwashing
voodoo.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, I don't know, Mr. Adams. Stop calling.
Oh, yeah, knows him by yes. Yeah.
Like, hi, Sally.
What was the other talk show that was like that? But it was the dude. It wasn't Maury. What now?
Phil Donahue.
Donahue. That's the fucking guy.
When did Springer start?
Ricky Lake. Yeah, that's another one.
Oh, Springer was a little extreme. Was a lot more extreme.
Yeah, he was.
It was always so
Montel
good.
Williams.
One of those. Oh, Montel
Jones.
I used to watch Montel Williams. Yeah,
Jerry Springer was the one you knew it was about time to go to bed because he would come on at like 10 or 11 at night. Like, okay,
he did. I thought he was in the morning. Wasn't he
around me? He came on about 4 o'clock in the afternoon because I watched.
It always came on later. Around here, because I would watch it after my parents went to bed.
Because y'all in the Bible Belt down there, up here in the north, us heathens, we were like 4 p.m. Your kids home from school. It aired after Tailspin, right on the same channel. You'd be watching
Tailspin. Yes, dude.
Gummy Bears would flip over to Jerry Springer and you'd be like, yeah.
Love Gummy Bears.
After you get done watching them bouncing here and there and everywhere, you go on to like, are her tits real? Is she sleeping with whatever? Let's find out today, Jerry.
Bouncing here and there and everywhere. A little transvestite.
Always came on at like,
that's right.
Afternoon here.
What did
Maury?
Oh, I thought you were still talking about gummy bears.
No.
Did Maury die or did he just retire?
He just retired.
Okay. I don't know. I just loved his. Are you the father? The
if I'm not mistaken, Maury Povich is married to Connie Chung. Is that right?
Really?
Maybe, no way.
Maybe I'm not right about that.
Hang on.
We got to inspect the gate now.
Because I know both of them.
This is old people
Connie
talk,
Chung,
kids.
Fuck.
Maybe I'm wrong about it.
Okay.
Who's his spouse?
He's just married to himself.
Like, I might be wrong. I might have made that up. No, Connie Chung.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that who Family Guy makes fun of all the time? The one who they base their Asian correspondent on?
She was like the first Asian news broadcaster in the United States. Mm.
I love but Connie Chung.
She was like the first one to like be the lead news desk on national news. So she was a very serious journalist reporter. And then she was married to Maury, who was doing all this bullshit. It was just a very odd.
What she was trying to. You're right.
Imagine those conversations at home. Like,
they're the dads.
Honey, do you know what I'm trying to do here? What the fuck are you doing to me?
It just makes me think of like a couple that's married, like one half of the group is like an exec or like some higher ranking in a company. The other dude just works at GameStop. Or the other person. I mean, like, it's like that, like, parallel between.
It really is. Yeah. It's like Morticia getting a job and Gomez just being in a no-tell motel watching Sally Jesse Raphael.
Is he eating Fritos?
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like eating Fritos and also eating like cereal right out of the box. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Trix makes a lot of appearance. Was that Trix in this fucking movie?
Constantly? I think so.
Yes, it was.
And you could be Morticia.
That's fine with that.
I could stay home all the time.
And eat Trix and snacks. And watch Don't Miss. You don't want to miss Gilligan.
Listen, I love that.
Yeah, but I'll miss Gilligan. Yeah. My favorite bit in the movie, other than the bloodletting, is coming up, though. And it involves Thing doing the sign language.
Yes.
Where Gomez is like, slow down. I can't understand you when you stutter. It's just not even that funny of a line, but it's Raul Julia saying it. It's so serious. And I'm just like, God, this movie.
It's so good.
It makes you wonder what was made up, improvised. By him, and what was actually written in for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love how after it, though, like when he finally figures out what Thing is saying, the hand just like droops, like he's just exhausted.
He's exhausted.
He starts doing the
Morse code. He's like,
Morticia, in trouble? Yeah.
Help now.
Help now.
Oh, but I do love the fact that we see Morticia in her new job, which is reading Hansel and Gretel from memory to small children, and they all start to cry at the. I'm like, for one, I watched the scene and go, how did they get those kids to cry?
That kid is really
all of those kids are really crying. They all look so scared. What did they do? Someone tell me.
He's in a nursery school telling them the story. It starts off normal, but the story is from the witch's perspective where the kids are the villains.
Yes. Twisted. I love it.
Which is ironic because Angelica Houston was in The Witches, which I think was the year before this. I think it was
1990. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And you want to talk about a terrifying transformation.
Yes. Yeah.
That movie was rated PG.
Yeah, kind of makes you wonder if they were listening to the story, but then they brought her in, and like the kids didn't know that this lady was coming in.
Some sort of trick, where they're just like,
All I know is those kids are crying.
The first kid, I think, just started crying, and they were just like, use it, zoom in on it. Okay,
yeah, focus. Hold that shot.
His face is red. He is sobbing.
I think I want my mama. God.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Lord. Somebody share the secrets here. And then we see that Thing in the mailroom just causing a ruckus. It's great.
With FedEx, that now, like, Trix is
that's obviously awesome. Product
placement. FedEx is obviously product placement, too. Yeah. It's just all. I seem to remember a FedEx commercial with Thing in it. And I also, perfect. I feel like Subway, didn't Subway sponsor the Addams Family?
Yes.
They're not in the movie, so. but I feel like I remember Subway commercials for this.
I don't remember.
I believe so. Not for this one. I think it might have been for Values.
It might have been for Voca. All right. Yeah.
So, yeah, he hears the whole voodoo witch doctor thing on that show you guys are talking about. I'm not going to remember what that name was. I didn't watch it. And I love when they're sleeping in the motel. I love that Pugsley is using Lurch as a mattress.
Yes.
And Things laying on him.
Yeah. And Morticia goes back to the house to talk to Fester, but she is captured by Mother and Tully. Thing is there too, because I think Thing goes with her. He sees what happens, and then he has to journey back to Gomez to tell him what's going on. I love the whole thing. Like, this is when the compositing looked really good. Like, you don't actually see any, like, green screen, blue screen, whatever they used for it. It all looks so seamless, unlike what we saw, like, in the very beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very clean. I love he's, like, grabbing out of the back of cars to try to get there.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And he finally gets it. We already talked about the whole sign language scene and all that. It is one of the best lines, though, that Gomez says to him. So they have to go save Morticia. And he goes back to the house. He, you know, of course, you get the whole thing where she's like tied up to this contraption. But it's like, it's definitely something they use for kinky times, man. Because they are into it.
It's like the rack, baby.
Yeah, her limbs are being stretched, and but she's kind of getting off on it. She's and then she's
like, you've done that before.
Yeah, and then he's like, "Oh, Morticia, seeing you in this position and all of this pain." Yeah, flaming hot pokers. And she's like, "Later, darling. You know,
you know, something's fun's gonna be happening."
Oh yeah, Dan knows what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Hey, I've been around, kid. I've been a school kid. Yeah. Sorry. Oh. I'm an idiot. I don't get to use that line very often. So.
We use it all the time.
Not as much as I want.
So, this is when Fester kind of turns on his mother and Tully. He grabs the Hurricane Irene book off the shelf and threatens him with it. I love where he's just like, he doesn't open it, but he's like, he like does it quickly a couple times, like scares shit out of him.
Yeah, because they're like, you know what that is, right? He's like,
gives him enough, he gives Gomez and Morticia enough time to escape, and then he opens it. You get a very Jumanji looking scene where he's just spinning around the room.
Yeah.
And both mother and Tully are flung into some open graves. And I love where Pugsy's like, are they dead? And Wednesday looks at him and goes, doesn't matter.
So just to be clear, they very likely buried those two people alive and murdered
them.
100%. Margaret knows, doesn't care.
Doesn't care that they killed her husband.
Nope, no shits are given.
Yeah,
nope.
Okay, all right.
Thanks.
The stones are already made up with their names. It's fantastic. Yep. And everything is all good. Fester gets hit with the lightning, which then I guess wakes him up. It like takes him out of the trance that mother had on him. And we get like a classic end where it's Halloween. We see the light bulb trick, which is a Fester thing from the show. Mm-hmm. We see that they want to play a game. They go wake the dead, which is literally go out to the back cemetery and dig up their dead relatives.
I'm guessing they didn't dig up Mother and Tully.
They're still alive. They're still alive.
They gotta let them cure for a while.
I see. Yeah, season them.
It's a little too messy at this point. Yeah, and you find out Morticia's pregnant.
Yes,
with a squid.
Three-legged baby.
Congratulations on this.
Or she's expecting this baby to have a big old dong. Just fucking.
It could do. It's a boy, and what a boy, Mr. Simpson has the umbilical cord.
she gives birth, and like Gomez is there to watch, and it just hits him and knocks him out. Oh, is he okay? Somebody check on him.
Yeah, he's my kid. Woo.
That's why he slouches all the time.
Oh god. Well, yeah, but that is the Addams Family.
Straight into MC Hammer, baby.
Yes,
into what they want to do. Say what they want to say.
Not MC Hammer. Hammer. Just Hammer.
Oh, yes.
Play how they want to play. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Addams Family. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what we get. I forgot to mention earlier that the music was done by Mark Shaman, who also did music for South Park, Bigger, Better, and Uncut. I just wanted to.
That's odd.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. He did music for a lot of other stuff. Sister Act, City Slickers, Sleepless in Seattle.
Wow.
The First Wives Club.
He's had a run in the 90s where he's just like, Hit movies? Yeah, I did the music.
Running
for him.
In the 90s.
Yeah,
I was running in the 90s. Yeah,
his last movie was Mary Poppins Returns.
Ooh.
Oh, I thought it would be Mary Poppins Revenge. Damn.
as soon as that's fair use, copyright, you'll get Mary Poppins Revenge.
Is she going to be a part of the Pooniverse?
Probably. Nope.
Who has tickets to Blood and Honey 2 on Tuesday?
Hey, no. We're going to see.
No.
We just watched... You do. He does. He does. We're going to see Godzilla this week coming up.
I'm going to see real cinema.
No, I agree. I just want to watch giant monster bullshit for an hour and a half. Somebody's got a flying dropkick.
See Ghostbusters. So.
It's worth it.
All right. Well, now we are going to talk about our final thoughts on the movie, and then we're going to head over to social media and share all the thoughts that all the wonderful people over there wanted to give. So, Jason, what are your final thoughts on the Addams Family?
I don't say this lightly. I am surprised about to say it. I think it's a perfect film.
All right. Simple as that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was just taken aback by, like, I was watching. I said, God damn, we used to know how to make movies. Look at this. Even like this Addams Family adaptation looks better than 90% of movies I've seen in the last 5 years. I don't understand it. I don't, you know, and I do understand it. They used to light movies and block movies and write movies and direct movies and have sets and have talented people build those sets and make them look realistic. And now we don't do any of those things. But
turn them out as fast as you can.
Figure it out in post, ship it over to China, get a bunch of sweatshop kids to digitally render your effects. Put it up, broadcast it to a hard drive. They're still fucking editing the movies hours before they're going to be in theaters. There was a movie recently that 16 hours before the premiere, they were still updating the files in the digital hard drives.
What movie was
this? I can't remember which one it is, but it was end of 2023. They were 16 hours before the premiere. Whoa.
Fuck, that's terrible.
They've been doing, and there's a couple movies, and Cats was one of them, but there's a couple movies where very more subtly, and people aren't talking about this, they're still updating effects. Like, it's almost like DLC for video games, or like patches. So they'll, like, if something didn't quite work, they'll get it into theaters before it's really completely finished. And so, god damn, what movie was it? Because somebody saw it like a day after me, and I was like, well, didn't you notice how, like, the sound was all off and the picture was weird? And they're like, no, I didn't notice. And they released an article being like, oh yeah, well, we fixed it overnight, and so servers had to be updated. I'm like, that's where movies are now. They're like video games. They're like, it's kind of finished, but we have a date, get it out there. So in lieu of all of that, Addams Family seems like a perfect movie. I didn't like it as a kid. I think I love it now. Isn't that strange?
Not at all.
I mean, I guess to some people. I mean, it's not the first time I've heard that about a movie like this, or, you know, a movie that I think a lot of people enjoyed as a kid, and you just didn't. Sometimes that's how it works.
Yeah. Those are my thoughts.
All right. Angela?
I love this movie. With it being so long since I've watched it, it was a nice refresh. From however many years ago, it's been over 17 years since I've watched it, but it was great to watch it again, to see the effects. Love the actors, actresses. I mean, I want to watch it again.
Okay. It'll
probably be something that I watch alone.
Just join.
Watch it with Sissy.
Just join my yearly watch, because this is a yearly watch for me. Like, it will probably be forever. Even after
watch
my kids
it alone, does that mean Dan's not a fan of Addams Family?
I am one of those that I would watch things over and over that he would not watch. Like, I watch TV shows that he'll watch the first season of it and nothing past that. And I'll have to watch stuff alone because I'm like, hey, I want to watch this. So.
Yep, that's me.
It's not that he doesn't like it. I just
can't hang with TV shows, dude. Yeah, like, I just can't do it.
Yeah, me either.
Unless it's something I'm really, really into, and I still haven't watched Monarch, so what's that say about it?
I think the only thing we've watched more than one season of was Castlevania.
Well, there's some other stuff, but it's been a while ago.
but we don't normally watch more than one season.
Yeah, pretty much.
Usually like, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm tapped. That was enough for me. If it's not just a couple episodes.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, sorry. Are you done? I don't want
to.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, as I said to my experience with this film, I'd never seen it before. Just knew of it. But no, I rather enjoyed it. I thought this was a very charming film. I thought it was humorous. I thought it was well shot. I thought it was well acted. I liked it. I thought it was a really fun movie. I don't know if this is one to come back to a lot, but I really appreciate what they did. And if it was on, like I came upstairs and was watching it, I'd probably sit down and watch it. Like I think this is not my genre of film, but I liked it. I enjoyed it. Don't really have any qualms about it. Thought it was paced well. I can't say like I didn't like this part. No, it was good. It was a good movie. It was well made. And I can see why it was so popular back in the day.
I like hearing that from you because we've watched some movies and you'll be cackling, laughing, and you're like, the humor was meh.
It depends. Some of it. It depends how it hits me.
But you laugh harder at some things that I do. But to hear you laugh at some of the jokes that were made.
Well, you know, some movies like, you know, I'm not spoiling anything, but it's like some of the things I said about Ghostbusters. Not saying what I said anything about it, but anyhow, I really enjoyed this movie. I cannot think of a single thing, a flaw with it. Just do your thing.
My final thoughts are pretty much in the same vein as Jason. This is pretty much a perfect movie. This is so it's enjoyable every time. Sometimes I feel like I enjoy it more every time I watch it. And as I stated many times, I watch it every year, sometimes multiple times a year. This and Values are always back to back during the spooky season that is October. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I really want to say about it. You know, it's the same thing I said in the beginning. I love
this movie. Regurgitate!
I love this movie. All right, now we're going to go over to social media and read your wonderful comments on the Addams Family. We don't have a lot. Most of them are just like, hey, very excited for your episode. So I'll just name the accounts that said those type of things. And then if there are any related to certain parts of the movie, I will read those. So our friend Shoning is just excited about the release. We have 1999, the podcast, over on Twitter. Yes, I still call it Twitter. It said, fun fact, my mother-in-law's cousin's son plays Pugsley. Holy shit, that's a tongue twister. Mother-in-law's okay, cool. Cousin's son. All right.
Ariel Winter's brother.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Over on Instagram, our first one is from Jesse Man Zero. Said, I love this movie and the sequel. Haven't seen, didn't know where there was a third movie until early today. It's something you probably don't need to see. I think the only reason I probably would is because of Tim Curry, but Tim Curry can't. As much as I love Tim Curry, he can't touch what Raw Julia did.
No.
And the fact that it's technically a sequel to Values makes it another reason why I wouldn't want to check it out.
Yeah.
I probably did when I was growing up, but it's very forgettable. Team TNA podcast just said that it's going to be sweet. And the Evil Death said, are they made from real Girl Scouts? This movie fucking rules. Can't wait for this episode. I think we might have one over on Threads with me. One second.
We're going to the deep cuts.
Yeah, we do this every week.
Threads.
Just scrounge for comments.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Someone just listen to us, please. We beg of you. We didn't get anything over there. So yeah, so thank you to everybody who leaves us a comment over on the social media. You can follow us on X/Twitter, Instagram, Threads, TikTok, anywhere. Just type in Dissect That Film. We're probably there. All right, now it is the fun part, and that is the shameless plugs. And first, we are going to ask our wonderful guest, Jason, to share where we can find his glorious show, Binge Movies.
Well, you can find it on anywhere where quality and non-quality podcasts, reputable and disreputable shows are, or somewhere in between. We'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, all the things everybody else tells you. You can follow us on letterboxd.com/bingemovies, Instagram, which I'm not very good at, but Instagram.com/bingemovies lives. You can follow, if you want to support the show, patreon.com/bingemovies. That's basically it. That'll get you everywhere you need to go. I greatly appreciate all of your support, Parker. And it was a pleasure meeting you, Dan and Angela. And it was an honor to be on your show. And I hope I didn't disrupt it too much, but that's kind of what I bring to the table. So
I think it's fantastic. It was a pleasure, sir.
Listen, we're still under 2 hours. That means it's still less.
I'm 48 minutes over the limit, so there's an upcharge,
dude.
Just PayPal. I'll just PayPal request.
Well, watch that bill come in.
All the links to Jace, everything that Jason does with Binge Movies will be down in the description or in the show notes. As for us, I just shared where you can find us on social media, but we are also on Patreon. For a single dollar, you can get early access to episodes. You get access to polls for, the reason why we're talking about the Addams Family is because Patreon voted for it. So thank you for that. We either could have talked about What About Bob was an option. And
God.
And the second one was, damn, I don't even remember.
I hate What About Bob. I hate What About Bob.
Oh,
my God. I really wish we got that one.
That probably would have been the juicier episode. But I don't like What About Bob.
Oh, it was Hook. Hook was the other option.
Hook I like.
Yeah, Hook I like. Hook, yeah. I picked him because I love all three of them. I grew up loving What About Bob. It probably doesn't hold up now because I have not seen it in probably a decade or more. So
me either. The last time I watched it, I was like, I hated it as a childhood, you know. So I would have liked it.
Well, the funny thing is it was directed by Frank Oz, and we covered Little Shop of Horrors earlier in the season. Yeah. So it would have been fun to cover two.
I don't like that movie either.
Oh, wow.
I don't like Little Shop of Horrors at all.
Oh, wow.
Nothing about it.
Dan doesn't like musicals, so
that's why. Yeah, I was the most part. Oh, Audrey too.
Where did my sign go? Sign's gone.
It's over there on the other side of the.
But yeah, so over on Patreon for a single dollar, you get all those fun stuff. And we have a $5 tier, which you have access to our Patreon exclusive show called The Monster Zone, which is hosted by Dan and Angela, where once a month we spin a wheel, we land on a monster movie, and we talk about it in a very similar fashion to what you hear here, except for it's unedited, uncensored. It's raw, baby. And
these are much shorter.
And most of them I have never seen before, so it's fun. So yeah, if you'd like to check out that show, go over there, patreon.com/dissectthatfilm. And if you'd like to support us financially. But if you can't do that, go over to your favorite podcast app that you listen to us on and leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a review if you can. It really, I guess it helps. I'm going to say it helps. Gets us into more ears. It's cool. Appreciate it. And if you're watching us over on youtube.com/dissectthatfilm and you're seeing our lovely faces, make sure to hit that subscribe button. It's absolutely free. Hit the like button. Leave us a comment. I love reading your comments. We've been getting quite a few on our YouTube videos, so please leave those comments. Cool. It's fun. You know, sometimes it's about the episode, sometimes it's not, but I don't care. I like reading them all. So
I probably said something. I just love the. I mean, no offense. Like this, not necessarily what I'm gunning for, but I love the 1-star review. Dan's a fucking idiot because insert line here.
Listen, we're still only at that one-star review. So as long as it doesn't get any higher. And hey, it is what it is.
I can almost guarantee you my performance tonight will get you at least one more 1-star review.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. We've had some.
He's gunning for it.
Yeah, he's like, oh man.
Oh man.
Give me 20 more minutes.
Really sneak this joint out.
But yeah, I think that's about it. Thank you to all of our wonderful patrons. We greatly appreciate your support. We greatly appreciate everybody who listens to the show because it still blows my mind that people actually listen to us talk about movies in the way that we do. And we always appreciate when wonderful people like Jason agree to come on our show. It's always an honor. It's amazing, especially really somebody that I listen to and I admire, reaching out and them saying yes it still blows my mind even 3 years later. So thank you again, Jason, for being here and hanging out with us. Hopefully you'll be back again soon. We would love to have you back.
You got it, man. And next time I'm going to tank so hard. You don't even believe it.
We're gonna pick a juicy movie for you to cover next time.
Yeah, absolutely. Stink it up.
Oh man. All right. Well, next week, before we go next week, we're hopping into our first franchise of the year. It's been a while since we actually dove into a franchise. And next week we're doing it again. And that is the 90s Ninja Turtles trilogy. As next week we'll be talking about 1990s. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with Adam Blank from Remember the Game, the man behind the Remember the Game podcast. Yeah, we are very excited to have him come on and talk about that wonderful, wonderful movie. And if it holds up. But yeah, we're talking about all three of those juicy ones. We got guests for every single one, and I'm super pumped for it. But before this episode runs way too long, we're going to get the hell out of here. So until next time, I am Brett Parker. That is Dan Angel of DNA Gaming. And that is Jason of Binge Movies. And this has been another episode of the Dissect That Film Podcast. See y'all again next time. Bye-bye.